Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather, to worship you, to open your word, to hear what you have for us, Lord. Lord, in spite of the chaos, both good and bad, that go on in our lives, would you show us that you are present in every area of our life, always with us, never leaving nor forsaking us. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. So one of the ways, you know, I want you to get to know me a little bit better over the years is sharing stories of experiences. And I've been a pastor for 14 years now, I've had moments of chaos or crisis in ministry. Every pastor does, where you have to navigate through some hard, challenging things. And so I want to share with you one of those moments of chaos. It happened August 25th through 29th of 2017, a little over 5 years ago, as I was the senior pastor at Christ Memorial Lutheran in Houston. It's on the west side of Houston, 50 inches of rain fell during that period of time. And 50 inches of rain would affect any community negatively, but especially a community as flat as Houston. The mountains we have there are overpasses from Beltway 8 that you can see, like, downtown 20 miles away just straight, because that's how flat it is. And it was utter and complete chaos with that much water on the ground. And so I'm going to tell the story by showing you some pictures from that event. Some that I took myself, some others sent to me, others I found. But I want to start with this one here. This is a major road in Houston that is occupied by an 18-wheeler underwater and airboats and John boats and rafts and canoes as people are just trying to get around. This is what it was like. Most streets, unless you were in certain areas of town, looked like this. So it was pretty chaotic as people were trying to get to and from. People were trying to be rescued. The Cajun Navy, which is a group of volunteers from Louisiana, came out and were rescuing people left and right as well. This is the neighborhood directly across the street from the church I was serving. If I took about 100 steps off of our driveway, I would end up in this neighborhood where the water came up. That's how close it was to our church. This neighborhood had about 500 homes flooded during Hurricane Harvey and this rain. And what happened was it wasn't when the hurricane came on land first made its appearance, it went back out in the Gulf, gained more strength, and then just came and just sat on, just stayed right there. And so this water was not a result of the hurricane as much as, I mean, not the winds and stuff. It was a result of just all of the rain that filled up two reservoirs that were created by the Army Corps of Engineers in the 40s. At the time, they were outside of the city of Houston. Now they're right in the middle of the city of Houston. And those dams filled up with water, and they're earthen dams. They can't just hold water forever. And so if they do, there was threat of breach or actually just them breaking. And so they had to send water. So the water from those dams joins into one bayou called the Buffalo Bayou, which runs through Houston. That water then goes all the way out to the Gulf of Mexico through the bayou. They had to release that water intentionally, knowing it would flood homes, because if they didn't intentionally release it in a controlled way, the water would have been uncontrolled going through the city of Houston, and probably would have killed thousands of people. So that the Army Corps of Engineers and officials had decisions to make. And so what happened is a neighborhood like this that was homes between $400,000 and $2.5 million right across the street from our church. 500 of them were flooded intentionally, I guess you could say, because to save everybody else. And the water stayed like that for 2 weeks. And so this is probably lower than what it started with. But as you see, this is a two-story home, and it's almost completely full. And people would take boats in, try to go upstairs, salvage whatever possessions they could, and they got staph infections and all kinds of stuff that happened. So this is another home. It's a large home, you see. There's an SUV in front of it, you know, like right here. You can't see it, but it's halfway underwater. This kind of was the norm for 500 homes. And a lot of our congregation members and school members in our school, there was 50 families that lost everything. And most people in these situations had no insurance because it never had flooded like this, not in this way. It flooded on the streets, but not like this. And so this is what you saw. I mean, I took this picture because people were going out, and there's water as far as you can see, probably a mile to 2 miles that way, with airboats and whatever they could do to get people out, because there were still people maybe in, or they were trying to get possessions out. So this was the situation, and this is Kirkwood. This is one of the major thoroughfares in that area, and it was underwater like this for 2 or 3 weeks as well. A lot of chaos. People lost everything. They had illnesses. They had medications they didn't have. I mean, it was pretty chaotic. Even this military helicopter, that's our church parking lot. It's landing on our parking lot. I couldn't get there at the time because I was, trapped behind water. But somebody sent me this picture where they were saving people out of the neighborhood and having them land there to then be taken to a shelter or elsewhere, having a friend or family member come and get them. So there's a lot of chaos, a lot of being uprooted from your home. And if you try to put yourself in these situations with all this water, you would see, like, it would be a really anxious time. This is behind the reservoir, behind one of the reservoirs. That's where I lived. And so this was the street that I used to and from to try to get to church and to school, my kids, and everywhere. And that was outside my neighborhood. We walked to that, and that water, if I kept walking to where I'm facing right now, if I just keep walking, it'd be about 3 miles of water, because it was, all of those areas were considered the reservoir, even though there was homes and businesses built there. It was kind of the overflow, but people still built stuff there over the years. In some cases, knowing it would flood, you know, it's just kind of the way it was. So this is, again, just that area right outside my neighborhood. And this right here is my neighborhood. If you see the inn on Queenston at the very top, if you look left, that was my house. And so the green is where the water got up from behind the reservoir because it had nowhere to go. So we were fortunate. We never lost internet, never lost power. It just took me 2 hours to go 9 miles to get to the church because there was just nowhere to go. Everything was underwater. So a lot of chaos, but some good things happened with that. So while my neighbors and I were all trapped into our neighborhood for about 4 or 5 days, maybe even more, I don't recall, I got on Nextdoor. And I said, hey, I'm just a local pastor in the community, and I would love just to have a time of prayer for our neighborhood, for our community, for people who have lost stuff. I'm going to be at the playground area on this day at this time. Join me there. 60 of my neighbors showed up, and we had this time of prayer. Agnostics, atheists, like, they were even praying during the time, because crisis does that to people. And so we just had this time. Where I shared scripture, and I tried to share an encouraging, like, God is found in all. God is in the midst of it all. And our church came alongside neighbors and mucked all of the houses got all the drywall out and did all that kind of fun work. If you ever have to do that, I mean, it's great to help people, but it's not real healthy or fun. But we did that. And then later, when people moved into their homes again, maybe a year or two down the road, we got board games as a church and blankets and gift cards and a Bible. And I offered to do house blessings to anybody in the community that wanted one. And we gave them these gifts just as to say, hey, this is a new start, a new beginning for you. And so God worked in the midst of that time. God worked as neighbors were helping neighbors. And it was an amazing way how that community bonded together. Even though there were 6 million people, you wouldn't know it by the way that people worked together. And so there's chaos in life. And so chaos maybe isn't like that. Maybe it isn't a flood, but maybe it's a flood of emotions or raging storms in your life or trying to meet deadlines at work or just trying to get to work with traffic. Or the chaos of your mind as you try to work from home and you're distracted. The chaos of broken relationships, like a marriage or a friendship. A chaos of dealing with responsibilities with your kids, your spouse, your family, your friends. Maybe it's chaos of dealing with illness in your life and how it causes you to pivot and change your schedule. A chaos of putting kids to bed every night. It is not for the faint of heart. The chaos of trying to figure out what's for dinner every stinking day. The chaos of preparing for the big game or the work project or the test. And then seeing the fruits of your preparation in victory or good grades or success or closing the deal. The chaos of wrestling with the purpose or meaning of your life and then finding it. Now, for some of us, we may say, man, God, where are you in the midst of this chaos? Are you really there? I mean, I know what the Bible says, but I just haven't really felt it or experienced it. And maybe that's you. Maybe that's all of us at times of chaos, because the reality is, do any of us want chaos in our lives? Most of the time, no. But it happens. It's part of life. And God gives us a really beautiful picture in Psalm 46 that he's with us. The first stanza of the psalm deals with God's protection of his church, his people, you, in the midst of conflict and instability in life, as you and I, as God's people, live in this world. That whole first section of Psalm 46 is telling you that God's with us in that time. God is still in control in the chaos and the tumult of the world. And God's people, his church, is still secure no matter what goes on, no matter what happens. You're good because of God. And verse 1 reminds you and I how God is a refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. And this word present, it doesn't just mean like present, like I'm present with you, but I'm up here and you're over there. It's closer than that. In Hebrew, this word means God is found in the middle of our trouble. He's with us in the middle of the trouble. Not like, oh yeah, I see you. You're doing okay. Keep going. You're okay. You're good. No, he's with us in the muck and the mire, in the trouble, in the chaos. Even when the waters have gotten high, when the emotions have sunk low, God's with us. That should be a calming thing for us, some assurance for us as his church, as God's people. Verse 5 says, God will help her in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. When morning dawns, what is that? What does that mean? It means when Jesus rises from the dead, God's victory through Jesus over all the chaos and death on that final time. When that happens, when Jesus rises from the dead, this is Old Testament, right? When Jesus rises from the dead, He's gonna be in control, regardless of the chaos and the death and the sin. He's in control. It's another way God's saying, "Hey, I'm with you. I'm present in the midst of everything. I can be found in the middle of it." And the psalm is structured with the refrain that happens twice in the whole psalm. Remember, a psalm is a song, and it even says that at the top of chapter 46 in most of your Bibles, where it says to the choir master, and then later it says a song. And so, these two refrains this one refrain is used twice in verses 7 and 11. It says this: "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." See, the word Lord here is Yahweh, meaning he's the commander of the heaven's armies. He's our defender against all enemies. Any enemies that we can conceive of in our minds or see literally in our lives, he's commander. He never stops fighting. He never stops protecting us, as he is God of the angel armies. And the theme of this psalm is that this is the voice of the church that's speaking, God's people. The first person plural is used all through the psalm: we, us, and our. "We will not fear," in verse 2 it says, "therefore we will not fear though the Lord gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea." We, as God's people, this is what it's saying. We're saying that as his people. This is a psalm we can go to and say, this is who we are. We're protected. We're covered by God. And then in verses 7 and 11, in that refrain, it says, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." This is the voice of God's people, you, his church. This is a psalm for you. And this theme continues about God being present and being our God and for us all through the Bible. Revelation 21:3. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." It's all through the Bible that God's with his people, no matter what is going on, in all times and in all places. And the second stanza of this psalm, after all the talk of the chaos and how God is with us, is a vision of peace. Beginning at verse 9, "He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters a spear. He burns the chariot with fire." And then it says a verse that you've probably leaned on a lot in your life if you're a follower of Christ: "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." Again, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And this "be still" in Hebrew says, it's another way to say it is "let go." You know, on coffee mugs, it says "let go" and "let God." And it's maybe kind of comes across as kind of cheesy. But it's real. It's true. In Hebrew, "let go and let God. Be still and know that I am God." And then another way to be still is right after that refrain, "the God of Jacob is our fortress." There's this word that happens about 77 times in the book of Psalms: Selah. And that word, when you see that in the book of Psalms, is really a word, it's a musical word, and it just means to pause. Maybe it's like a rest in our music. Pause. Be still and know that I'm God. Reflect on the fact that even in the midst of your chaos, both good and bad, God's present. And look at our gospel reading for today, Luke 21. It says, starting in verse 10, it describes chaos like in a crazy way. It says, "Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, pestilences. There'll be terrors and great signs from heaven. There'll be persecution. That sounds like crazy chaos, does it not? And look at what it says in verse 13. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Isn't that crazy? Like, hey, in the midst of all this, I'm going to show you that I'm still present, that I'm still with you. Good chaos, bad chaos, and oh yeah, this is going to be your opportunity to bear witness of how I'm with you. And what do we bear witness to? The fact that Jesus is present. The fact that Jesus has given up everything for us. The fact that he lived, died, and rose for us. He forgave us of our sins. And you know, even Jesus paused and was still at times. In prayer to his Father, he was still. Then he paused for about 3 days after he died. And everybody thought, this is over. This is complete chaos. Jesus is dead. And 3 days later, the time of pausing was over. He got up and he said, I've defeated death so that you would have life. And in the midst of chaos, I'm with you no matter what's going on. That's your certain hope and joy that you and I have because of Jesus and because of God the Father who loved us so much that he gave up Jesus, where Jesus is found in all, in every area of your life. Amen? Amen. Please rise.